Romans chapter 1 in your Bibles. We're going to read there in just a moment. In Romans chapter 1, let me mention a couple of things I forgot at the announcements. A couple of things. I want to make things available to you that are helpful to you. And I ordered in some of these books this last week. Lee Strobel, The Case for Christ. If you know someone who is a reader and they have honest questions about the gospel, this is an excellent book, and we'll make those available to you. I think these are $7 or $8. I'll have to find out how much they are. And so if you want one, you can see me after the service. We'll work with it. They're excellent books. We have I think six or eight we ordered in, but we can order more in very quickly. But it's an excellent book for folks that have honest questions about the gospel. And then we have some journals that are still available. They're down at the Welcome Center. You can pick those up and see the ladies down there after that. Romans chapter 1 in your Bibles, we're looking at the phrase, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We find that phrase four different times in the Bible. Back in Habakkuk, it says the just shall live by his faith. And then three times in the New Testament, we find the phrase, the just shall live by faith. We said if God tells us the same thing four times, then we probably should pay attention. It's probably pretty important to us. And each one of these times that we see the phrase, the just shall live by faith, we see God is pointing to a different aspect of us living by faith. Last week, as we looked at Habakkuk, we saw that the prophet said, the just shall live by his faith in the face of overwhelming opposition. The children of Israel, the remnant there in the southern part, of Israel, the nation of Judah. Israel had already gone into captivity. The remnant there in the south had been attacked by the Assyrians. The Assyrians had left, but Habakkuk said the Chaldeans are coming. And they did in 586 BC. But the overwhelming emphasis was not that something bad is going to happen, but that you can live by faith when bad things are happening. Here's we come to the book of Romans. Paul, of right course, is writing, and one of the great letters, they're all great, but the book of Romans, he just lays down such great arguments concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ, just laying down line upon line and precept upon precept, starting the premise and building through the books of Romans, telling about the great gospel of salvation. Here in Romans chapter 1, and verse 14, Paul speaks of himself. And he says in verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you've allowed us to place a personal faith and trust in you for salvation. Lord, we thank you that you are always trustworthy and our faith is never let down. Lord, we pray as we consider these words of the Apostle Paul in this wonderful letter that you'd use them to touch our hearts and challenge us and instruct us. Lord, we pray for those who need yet to be saved, that the word of God might do its work in their hearts, and Lord, they might understand clearly the necessity to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Bless now our time together, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul begins this portion of Scripture with three bold statements. I have them highlighted in my Bible. In my Bible, I underline a lot of things, highlight things. I've got lines drawn across pages and all kinds of things. My Bible's all marked up because I forget things if I don't write them down. And so I write them down there where I'll remember. But I've highlighted the first thing Paul says here is, I am debtor. In verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul says, I am a debtor. Do you like to be in debt? I just saw recently that they were doing the Bank of Canada was doing their annual report and talking about interest rates and things. And part of the report was that Canadian households have some of the highest personal debt of countries in the Western world. That people are in debt for their home, in debt for their cars, in debt to credit cards, in debt for a host of other things. I don't like to be in debt because it puts pressure on me. It says that when I get my paycheck, it's all not mine because I am a debtor. I have to send part of it here and part of it here and part of it here. I'm a debtor. I don't like to be in debt. But Paul says this isn't a debt because he borrowed money to buy a new chariot. It's not because he borrowed money to pay off his donkey. But it's a debt because he's been entrusted with something. You know, if Laurent said, Pastor Holman, here is $200. I want you to take that money, if you would, please. And there's a person in the church that I know could really use it. They're going through really hard times. And I don't want them to know where the money came from. And so, can you take this money and give this money to that individual? As soon as he does that and I accept that obligation, I am a twofold debtor. First of all, it's Laurent's money, it's not mine. And so I have a debt to him because he has given me an obligation. That money is not mine to do with what I will. I have a responsibility to Laurent because it's his money, it's not mine. I have a second debt to the individual to whom he designated that money. I have a responsibility. As soon as I have the opportunity to tell them, here's an envelope, somebody told me to give this to you, and I relieve myself of both debts by taking that money that Laurent gave me, being a trustworthy steward of that money, and then taking that money and giving that to the individual he designated that to. How does this relate to the Apostle Paul here? Paul says, I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. What's he talking about? Did he owe money to the Greeks, the barbarians, the wise, and the unwise? No, of course not. But he said, God has entrusted me with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. There on the road to Damascus, as he was going there to persecute Christians, a bright light from heaven came and God struck him down. And Jesus Christ said from heaven, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And there on that Damascus road, Paul came to understand the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We go through, if we look at the book of Galatians, we see how God used the gospel to train him, to prepare him. He was entrusted with the good news of Jesus Christ. He has a debt to God because God gave him something very valuable. But not only is he indebted to God because God gave him the gospel, he's indebted to those who do not know about the gospel. You know, it would be a horrible thing. I was telling somebody the other day that Mrs. Holman and I have lived in a lot of different places. I've never seen cancers like they are here in Newfoundland. I don't know why. I don't know why it is. But it'd be a terrible thing if someone told me there is a cure for cancer. It's not one of these quack things, but it's a regimen of medication that if you take this, it will prevent you from getting cancer, or if you have cancer and you take this regimen, it will stop the growth of your cancers. It'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? That would be great news. We could probably empty 20% of the health sciences. And if I said, well, that's good. I'm going to start taking that regimen. I'm going to start do that. I'm going to get the medication. But I never told anyone else. It was the man that invented it and went through all the trials with it. And he told me. What a sad, what a selfish thing it would be for me to keep that to myself, not to take time to share with someone, maybe who has cancer themselves, or a loved one who has cancer, or who is looking at their age and life, that it's time that maybe these things might start to crop up in their lives, and say to them, you know what? Let me just tell you, there's a book you can read, and this book, it's not a quack thing, it's not something this guy's trying to, the book doesn't exist, okay, as far as I know. But how sad it would be for me to be indebted to that individual who gave me that great news, but yet people all across Newfoundland and Labrador who could benefit from that, I also have a debt to them, but I don't tell them a word. That's what Paul's talking about here when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I know I was a sinner on my way to hell. Christ saved me. Christ changed my life there on the Damascus Road. I am indebted to God because he gave me this wonderful gift of eternal life. And now he says, I am a debtor. I am a debtor. And notice the words he used. It's interesting. He says, I am a debtor. He says, to the Greeks and to the barbarians. He divides civilization in two major classes there. The Greeks are the cultured, the educated, the elite. It was the Greek culture that dominated the world at that time. Roman dominated militarily, but Greek culture dominated the world at that time. He says, I'm indebted to those who are cultured, and I'm indebted as well to the barbarians. The barbarians comes from a group of people that were a nomadic group that had no real civilization or culture other than going and attacking other people. He says, I'm a debt to them too. To the cultured and to the uncultured. To the civilized and to the uncivilized. I have a debt of the gospel. He says, not only that, but I'm a debtor to the wise and to the unwise. Now, no, he's not talking about nothing wise and foolish here. He's not making that comparison. But he's saying, I have a debt to the people who have been educated. The Jewish system of education at the time was quite comprehensive. But there are many, many groups around, and Paul would meet in his travels, as he traveled the Mediterranean, he would meet many groups who were not educated either like the Greeks or like the Jews. He says, I have a debt to both of them. I have a debt to the culture and the uncultured, the civilized and the uncivilized. I have a debt to those who are educated, and I have a debt to those who have little or no education. And that took up the whole of the population. Paul says, I am a debtor. Do we have a debt today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a debt. You have a debt to God because God gave you something of immense value, more valuable than anything else ever seen in this world, the gift of eternal life. But also we have a debt to those that we meet, because we have the wonderful good news. The gospel means good news. We have the wonderful good news that Jesus Christ paid for all of our sins for all time on the cross of Calvary. We have that wonderful good news, and we have a debt to those that we meet to share that good news with them. So we're talking about in our Sunday school class, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with people we meet on a regular basis. Paul says, I'm a debtor. But Paul also says, not only am I a debtor, but I am ready. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. As much as in me is. Paul says that with all of the being and strength and ability that I have, as much as in me is, I am ready. Why was Paul ready? Go back to Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. He gives us a quick biography there. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Notice what he says, separated unto the gospel of God. I am ready. I am separated unto the gospel. Paul tells us a lot about himself there. He tells about his salvation because his name got changed from Saul to Paul. He tells us about his Savior, Jesus Christ. He tells about his service. He tells about his sending. He's an apostle. But the thing we want to look at, he says, I'm separated unto the gospel of God. Sometimes this word separation has got a bad connotation. That we think of separation is things I'm not allowed to do anymore. But that's not what Paul says. Paul says here, first of all, that I'm a debtor, but I'm ready to pay my debt. I am separated unto the gospel. It's as though this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm separated. I'm focused on the good news of Jesus Christ that saved me, took me off the road to hell, set me on the road to heaven, gave me a new life. I'm separated unto it. There's some things that are not part of my life anymore because I'm focused on the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. He says, I am ready. I'm separated unto the gospel. He says, I'm prepared with the truth and the power of the gospel. In Galatians, we won't go there, but Galatians chapter 1, Paul tells about his preparation after he was saved on the road to Damascus. He was saved. He spent a little time there. And then he says he was in the desert for 2 years, meeting alone with God, preparing him. And then he went up to Jerusalem to meet with Peter and the other apostles. He said, I'm prepared to do this. He says, I am ready. He says, I'm eager to do this. I'm eager to present the gospel. Paul says, I'm a debtor. He says, I am ready. And then he says, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. You know, people don't blush too much anymore, do they? You notice that? People don't. I met the other day, just yesterday, usually on Saturdays I go to the corner store over here to get a newspaper. I've got to know the young lady that works there on Saturdays. I've invited her out to church every time I go in. And she, I'm not going to tell you exactly what she said because it's not for mixed company, but I said, you know, you're still welcome to the church. She says, you know, I'm a blankety blank for not showing up. And she said a couple foul words that should have made a lady blush. But it wasn't there anymore. We become hardened. What makes us ashamed? Not doing something we should be doing. Did ever somebody ever ask you to do something? You say, yep, I'm going to do it. And then a week later, we haven't done it. Should make us ashamed for doing something we should not. Did you ever do something and somebody walked in the room and you know you should not have been doing what you were doing, and we're ashamed. Sometimes we're ashamed of personal failure. Having the ability to do something, but just not doing it. Sometimes we're ashamed when people think us to be foolish or ignorant. And that's where it comes to with the gospel, I think. That sometimes we think if we take a gospel tract out of our pocket and we hand it to somebody, they'll think we're a religious nut. They'll think we're part of some wacko church because we hand out gospel literature. I talked to a lady yesterday, went to the auction yesterday morning. I like to go to the auction. Went to the auction yesterday morning, and I was talking to a lady there, and I said, I come here on Saturday mornings because my wife has a Bible study. And she says, oh, are you a Jehovah's Witness? Because seeing those are the only ones that have Bible studies, I guess. I said, no. I said, I'm a Baptist. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church. And, you know, sometimes we think if we talk, they'll think we're part of a cult someplace. We'll think even on Baptist churches, you go down to the States and there's some wacko Baptist churches down there. There are. But Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Why wasn't he ashamed? A couple thoughts. He wasn't ashamed, first of all, because he knew of its power in his life. He knew of its power in his life. He wasn't ashamed because he knew that walking down that road to Damascus that day to go and to take prisoner Christians in Damascus, he was lost. He knew that. He knew he had no hope of eternal life before he met Jesus Christ there on the road to Damascus. He knew that the gospel had a great power in his life. Not only that, but he had seen the power of the gospel in other people's lives. He had seen people that he met, and through the letters that he writes and through the book of Acts as it follows his journeys, we see him meeting individual after individual after individual. Think of him meeting Lydia, the seller of purple, meeting her, and the gospel changed her life. And she came to host the church in her home. She came, it just made a great, huge difference. We see individual after individual. He'd seen it with his own eyes that Jesus Christ touched their hearts. Jesus Christ changed their life. And Jesus Christ took them off the road to hell and set them on the road to heaven, gave them a new life. Think of a fellow that led to the Lord years ago, Larry Mackey. His life was a mess. Just a total mess. He got saved that day. My wife and I had the privilege of discipling him and his wife. And what a difference. He's in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Anything special going on. He loves children's programs and teens. He works in the bus ministry. He takes a week's vacation every year during the time of vacation Bible school so he can work in vacation Bible school. Do you know what? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because I saw what it did to Larry Mackey and his wife. His son was an intern down for Pastor Stansford in Marystown this last year. Going on to serve the Lord. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because I've seen what has happened to other people's lives. The gospel is a universal need. But in verse 17, we see the content of the gospel now. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye had believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Notice what he said, here's the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel in a nutshell, if you will. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the good news. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. Jesus Christ died on the cross to conquer the power of sin. And then he rose victorious 3 days later from the grave to conquer the power of death for us. It's all paid for. The power of the gospel. He says, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. What does he mean by that? From faith to faith. For the Christian, we understand that means that it's from a saving faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should know. From saving faith. To, if you want to use the word, serving faith. From faith to faith. From saving faith to serving faith. You see, we are saved by grace through faith. Through grace gives us a new life in Christ. Now, what do we do with that new life? We have a responsibility now of serving faith. Like the song says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Serving faith, living by faith, day by day. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to get there down the road in the weeks and months to come. And look at what we call the Hall of Fame of Faith. Individuals, and over and over and over in Hebrews chapter 11, we see the phrase, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Two thoughts about that. Phrase. The just shall live by faith. First of all, because of faith, we have life. Because we've placed our personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have life. We can live. We have eternal life because we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The second part of that is the just shall live their life by faith. The just shall live. We should make forward progress in our life by faith, trusting God day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, either until the rapture or until he takes us home through that door we call death. The just shall live by faith. Christian, let me ask you, what is your attitude towards the gospel? Think about what Paul says. He said three things. First of all, he says, I'm a debtor. I've got a debt to God because he gave me the good news of Jesus Christ. And because I have this wonderful good news, I have a debt to the people that I meet on a regular basis. I'm a debtor. Also, he said, I'm ready. And he said, I'm not ashamed. If you're saved, is your saving faith seen in your life day by day? Can someone meet you and in a very short time of conversation understand there's something different about you? That's living by faith. Living by faith. Paul said it's here on our banners I put up for you, Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. The just, those who have been justified, we have life because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And also, we have responsibility to conduct our life day by day, week by week, by faith. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?